If Justice Thomas's wife, Virginia, had not called Anita Hill about 2 weeks ago, kind of out of the blue, and left a message on Anita Hill's voicemail asking for an apology, if she hadn't done that, probably this woman, Lillian McEwen, would not have come forward and said, well, gee, you know, my recollection of him is consistent with Anita Hill's, and she has since given Larry King a lot of detail about her relationship with Clarence Thomas. It is just amazing that this chain of events was triggered by this just out-of-the-blue phone call that Mrs. Thomas made to Anita Hill, and for what reason, we still don't know. I've tried to reach Virginia Thomas several times since that period, and we don't know why she called her, and we don't know why, you know, the timing of it was the way it was, but it is certainly a strange story, and Lillian McEwen has a lot of incendiary things to say about her former boyfriend, Clarence Thomas.
And she even critiques his intellect. I mean, she doesn't have much nice to say about the guy, does she?
No,
the
not
guy,
at all.
He's a Supreme Court justice.
That's right, and for the record, we tried several times to get comment from him and from his wife and from Anita Hill, and none of them would respond. I mean, we have to say that we tried all day yesterday to get, and previous to that, CNN had tried to reach out to Clarence Thomas, and there's really no comment coming from his side. But basically, Ms. McEwen, who apparently we know was his girlfriend in the mid '80s before he got married to Virginia Thomas, has said that he was an alcoholic, said that he was became a bully to his own child, that he when he did quit drinking, he became very temperamental and inconsistent in his behavior. And then, you know, there were the allegations from her that he was obsessed with pornography. And she also says she believes and did believe at the time that he had a relationship with Anita Hill. And again, we're trying to get any kind of comment from Anita Hill's side and his side, and none is forthcoming.
And on top of this, the perhaps curious point that then Senator Joe Biden apparently knew about this at the time of the Thomas hearings.
Right. And what McEwen has told Larry King was that, you know, in 1991, during those confirmation hearings, McEwen, who actually used to work for the Judiciary Committee, wrote a letter to Senator Biden's staff on the Judiciary Committee and said, look, you know, I'm reminding you again that I had a relationship with Thomas and I know about some of these things. And she essentially is saying that she offered to testify and back up Anita Hill. She says she was never called. She doesn't know why she was never called. I tried again all day yesterday to get some kind of comment from Vice President Biden or any member of his staff, several calls and emails to them. I did reach one person who said she would try to get something for me, but in my persistent badgering of them, I never got any kind of comment from Joe Biden's side on that.
I'm sure this is a call that Justice Thomas wishes his wife had never made.
Can you imagine? That's the most, I think, fascinating thing about all this. She just decides early on a Saturday morning at about 7:30 to call Anita Hill. I mean, did she talk to her husband about this? Did they discuss whether this was a good idea? I'd love to have been a fly on the wall, and I'd love to have been a fly on the wall after that happened, because that is just bizarre.
One of these things that I'm sure we'll learn more as history writes itself, but my goodness, very odd. And the other thing we wanted to talk to you about is, are these all political ads? We're in the home stretch here. I was in Las Vegas this weekend, and I think we say this every year, that I don't ever remember a year when the political ads were so grotesque, but this year seems, they seem really grotesque.
They're grotesque and they're mean-spirited and they're very personal. Now, we've done a lot of stories about those. This, though, that we just talked about on Monday, when we reported on Monday, this is kind of a different animal, because this is an ad featuring, I mean, it's really horrific to watch. It just pops up, and these are clear pictures of aborted fetuses.
Yeah.
And they're running, by the way, on local broadcast stations in the D.C. market at times when teenagers and younger kids are watching TV in the late afternoon and early evening. And they are actually from a candidate, a registered candidate for federal office. Her name is Missy Riley Smith. She's a Republican running for the shadow seat in Congress in D.C. She has no chance to win. And what we found out, actually, is that her campaign really could be little more than a front for the anti-abortion movement. Her campaign manager is Randall Perry, the well-known anti-abortion activist. He told me over the phone that he wrote and produced those ads, and he fully admitted that he is trying to put candidates candidates forth for federal office who will put forth the anti-abortion message. So she very well could be a stalking horse just to get these shock value ads on TV from the anti-abortion movement. And what's interesting is they're using federal rules to their advantage. Because she is a federal candidate, you have to, as a broadcast station, run her ads because she's paying for them and she's a registered candidate. You have to run her ads and you have to run them where she wants them. If this was just some message put up by Randall Terry's group against abortion, the stations would have the option to refuse to run it. Because she's a federal candidate, they don't have that option.